and welcome to the ABCs of Rock podcast. I am your host, Nathan Schuer. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Weston Media Podcast Network. I thank you for joining me on my journey through the alphabet from A to Z, where each week I pick a new band or musician going in alphabetical order. It's not only been a blast, it's also been an education, and I'm having the absolute time of my life. Before I begin the show, I will read my disclaimer. I do not own the rights to any of the music played in this podcast. The musicians or the music labels own the copyright. My mission is simply to share my love of the music with you. And I hope in turn to turn many of you on to the music, the bands, and the albums you weren't familiar with before. And as always, I urge you to legally purchase, legally download their music. The musicians need your support, and I hope my show contributes to spreading the good word about these bands. I do not profit in any way from this podcast. It is truly done for my pure love of the music. Episode number 20, here we are. It's kind of a small milestone, I suppose. Considering the time and the patience that each episode mandates, I don't mind, though. I get to listen to the greatest music ever made, and then I get to talk about it. Where's the work in that, right? So, we're at the letter P. And way back when I was in the early planning stages for this episode, I was seriously in a round-robin tournament when it came down to which artist I was going to cover for this episode. There were so many that I debated. And just to name a couple, I whittled it down to, as recently as a couple weeks ago, was Tom Petty, of course, Pink Floyd, Pearl Jam, Poison, The Police, The Pixies, and yes, even Elvis Presley. Man, that would have been a wild episode. And then it came down to just two, which I seriously went back and forth on for about 2 weeks. And it was between The Police and Tom Petty. And obviously, Tom Petty won out, at least this time. The cool thing is, though, all these bands are still close to my heart, and I will eventually get to all of them. Another quick thing I want to address. I got so many wonderful compliments from two of our past shows that featured my favorite guest host. Well, I should say my only occasional guest host, Chloe. She has been on a few times now on the Cars episode, which was episode 3, the Go-Go's episode, which was episode 7, and most recently on the Huey Lewis in the News episode, which was number 13. The feedback was both heartwarming and hysterical. So, seems like her presence was a big hit, and it is desired for her to return soon, I'll say that. And I'd like her to sit next to me again in my co-host chair. It just needs to be the right type of music to entice her. She's 9 years old now, and believe it or not, most of the music that I listen to isn't necessarily in her wheelhouse these days. Right now, she's completely hooked on the music from the Descendants movies. It's a Disney franchise. But when I do cover a band or artist that I know will align with her music sensibilities, I definitely will have her back on. Recently, it just hasn't been the case. The last couple of bands I've covered are like The Offspring, New York Dolls, and Metallica since her last time on. Not really the type of music she'd be into. But I'll do my best to try to convince her to return soon. And I'm thinking the letter T might be the next episode she returns on. There's a band that I have been circling for a while that I think their music is interesting enough and quirky enough where I think she'll get a kick out of it. So that might be a little clue what I might be thinking about. So I'm going to try a little something that I haven't done before to entice listeners to stick around for, you know, a really interesting and weird fact about me and how I listen to music. So between the 9th and 10th songs, I'm going to share a little bit of trivia about me that some will find very odd. So I'll leave it at that. Okay, let's get to this episode's topic. The one, the only, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Can't forget the rest of the band. And once again, it was an impossible task to cover their entire music career. So this episode will be once again covering only a portion of it, their 70s and 80s output. So everything from their 1976 debut through Tom's solo 1989 album Full Moon Fever. So if you're a new listener, there is something you should know. What I do here is highlight deeper album cuts. Rarely do I play hits or singles. Never anything off a greatest hits album, and I also try to avoid songs that have achieved any type of status as a concert favor as well. I do my absolute best to celebrate great songs that just never have received the big radio play or stature that the well-known songs have. So if you're listening to this podcast and expect to hear the big hits and my commentary on them, then you're in the wrong place. And finally, before I get to the first song, I always give a little history as to my relationship to the artist I'm discussing. I probably could talk for hours on this, but I'll save you from all of that. But simply put, Tom Petty is probably the most important musician in my life. And I don't necessarily mean that he's my favorite. He's certainly way near the top. But when you consider my age, I just turned 46 years old. And the fact that his music pretty much has coincided with my entire life. His music has been the soundtrack to my life. From my early childhood to my preteen years through high school, college, and my adult life. His music I associate with so many milestones. He was there when I was a youngster, probably 5 or 6 years old, while I danced around the living room in my parents' house, and I distinctly remember the song Don't Do Me Like That on the radio, and I loved it. I remember being 11 and absolutely loving the music video for Don't Come Around Here No More. In high school, his album Into the Great Wide Open, especially the title track, was an anthem for me. And of course, when I was in college, the album Wildflowers, I felt, was the album that was made just for me. It felt so personal. And on it went. When Tom Petty died a few years back, it was definitely the most devastating death of any musician in my lifetime. And that says a lot because I'm a huge David Bowie fan too. And I still can't believe he's gone. I think what made him so special to me and very different is that I always thought of him as not a celebrity or some stuck-up musician, but just a regular Joe, a down-to-earth soul who definitely had his demons, but just had a special gift, that being a musical genius. So one final thing before we get to the first song. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were formed in 1976 in Gainesville, Florida. The band started off with Tom Petty on lead vocals and guitar, Mike Campbell also on lead guitar, Ron Blair on bass, Ben Montench on keyboards, and Stan Lynch on drums. Despite their 41-year career, the band had very little turnover. In 1982, Ron Blair left the band as a permanent member and was replaced by Howie Epstein as the bassist. He would eventually return to the band as a full-time member after Epstein passed away in 2002. Stan Lynch would depart the band in 1994 over creative differences and was replaced by Steve Ferrone on drums. And finally, in 1991, the band added Scott Thurston as a third guitarist, making the Heartbreakers officially a sextet. Okay, so let's get to the music. On November 9th, 1976, the band released their debut self-titled album, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. It was recorded at Shelter Studios in Hollywood, California, and they put it out, I guess, on their own label, Shelter. It was produced by Denny Cordell, who had some success in the 1960s producing for the Moody Blues, and more famously, Procol Harum and their song, Whiter Shade of Pale. The album is obviously known for one of their biggest hits of all time, American Girl. But, like I always do, I'm going to dig deep into this album and play something I love and I think deserves so much praise because it is, in my opinion, the best song hands down on this album. And that song is Strangered in the Night. All I can say is if you don't love this song, I don't know what you're doing here. More than American Girl, I feel this song sets the stage for their long upcoming career. It's got such a groovy beat and a just quintessential example of how amazing the band was at backup vocals. And Mike Campbell, oh my, he is just a beast on the song. Absolutely in berserk mode. Pay attention to what he's doing on this track. And if you're new to the show, I always quote either a verse or a chorus from each song, usually poorly. The lyrics to the song can be considered somewhat troublesome. I don't think they're meant to be racist. There are interpretations that the black man he's referring to is a slave that is getting revenge on his master. But I will admit, the lyrics are perplexing. Anywho, I'm going with the chorus on this one. As the sound split the night, they ran hiding from the light, like strangers in the night, like strangers in the night. Great way to start the show. So let's move on. On May 2nd, 1978, the band put out their sophomore album, You're Gonna Get It, once again recorded at the same studio and on the same label. Producing duties were shared by Denny Cordell, Noah Shark, and Tom Petty. Several great songs came off this album. Notable singles, I Need to Know and Listen to Her Heart, were just wonderful. But for whatever reason, it didn't drive record sales as they had hoped. Outside of those singles, there were several great deep cuts in here that I truly love. The opener, When the Time Comes, and Restless. And the song I'm going to play off this album, Magnolia. This song has such beautiful harmonies. The band is absolutely killing it, fully realized and on each other's wavelengths. Listen to those background vocals on this. There isn't any band that does it better than the Heartbreakers. And of course, the biggest strengths is the songwriting. Tom's lyrics are so vivid, so raw. I adore it when they can write a song like he's writing a story. There's never been anyone who can match his lyrical structure. And while I'm on that subject, let's get to the lyrics because I just love them on this song. The opening verse sets the mood, so let's go with that. From a table across the room, she was signaling me with her eyes. I walked over to be introduced. I said hello. She just smiled. Instead, I know a place not too far from here, where we could get away for a while. Yeah, that's when she kissed me and told me her name. I never did tell her mine. All right, what a beautiful song, and just criminally underrated. Lots of music still to get to, so let's move along. Up next was their breakthrough 1979 album, Damn the Torpedoes, which was released on October 19th, 1979, on Backstreet Records, which I recall was a problematic relationship for Tom and the band, but they did have a very good producer at the helm in Jimmy Iovine, who at the time had gotten his feet wet as the engineer on Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run and Darkness on the Edge of Town albums, as well as producing Patti Smith's 1978 album, Easter, which contained the hit song Because the Night. Damn the Torpedoes is absolutely loaded with great songs top to bottom. And I'm not just talking about the singles, which are a murderer's row with Refugee, Don't Do Me Like That, Even the Losers, and of course, Here Comes My Girl. The remainder of the album doesn't have a weak song. They are all killer. One of my favorites from here that easily could have been another single from this album is You Tell Me. This song will swoon you into submission. It's got an incredible bass line, which may be from guest bassist the legendary Donald Dunn, who worked with, pretty much every rock and roll musician between the 70s until he died about 8 years ago. Tom sings with so much passion on this track, and Ben Mundt's keyboards are truly the centerpiece of the song, a perfect showcase for his talents. And here's the chorus. So you tell me what you want me to do. This might be over, honey, it ain't through. Let me know when you're finished with me, what you want me to be. Baby, you tell me, honey, you tell me. This album is so perfect. So let's spin one more from Damn the Torpedoes. another deep cut that, once again, is such a great song, it probably could have been released as a single. And if it was on another album, I suppose it probably would have been. I guess back then, five singles was just too many, maybe. There were only 9 songs in the whole album. I'm going to play What Are You Doing in My Life, a high-energy rocker with a twangy slide guitar. And again, Benmont is just killing it on the keys. He's absolutely one of the best rock and roll keyboardists out there. And of course, it's really not that much of an Easter egg for diehard Petty fans, but for maybe some, it might not be common knowledge that the outro is playing tribute to Shelly Yachas. If you listen carefully, you'll hear his name repeated several times. Now, Shelly Yachas was a former vice president and chief engineer at A&M Records who worked with dozens of famous musicians such as John Lennon, Lou Reed, Bob Seger, Frankie Valli, and Frank Sinatra. I mean, the list is gigantic. So I'm going with the second verse from this song. I don't know how you got my phone number. Probably some jerk trying to put me under. Some friend of a friend of a friend of mine. Baby, who are you trying to fool when you tell those lies? Okay, welcome back. Let's move on to the next release, which was Hard Promises, released on May 5th, 1981. Produced again by Jimmy Iovine and Tom Petty, off their classic period, and I'm personally identifying this era as their classic period. I know it's arbitrary, but whatever. Of all their albums from this period, it's probably ranked towards the bottom, which may sound like a bad thing. But when it comes to Tom Petty albums, I love them all. It's just a level of greatness. However, it's probably the album I've listened to the least from this era. Despite that, there's so much I still love here. Songs like A Thing About You and King's Road. And of course, the single, The Waiting, is one of the greatest. Going to play a great underrated classic from this album. Maybe my favorite off this record. It's titled Night Watchman. Night Watchman was co-written by Tom and Mike Campbell and was the B-side to the single The Waiting, which came out on April 20th of that year. Which, from what I've read by poking around, and somehow did get some radio play. I don't know this 100%, but maybe some listeners out there can let me know from your experience in your neck of the woods if Night Watchman was in rotation on your local rock station. But I did read some chatter that it was released as a single in some areas, but it's not officially listed on any like Billboard charts as a release. But you let me know. I usually don't put much stock into what Rolling Stone magazine publishes, but I did happen to come across an article of their top 10 underrated Tom Petty songs, and this one is nestled in at number 5. There won't be any others that we share on our list, though. However, just in case you're interested, the number one underrated Tom Petty song was Crawling Back to You off the Wildflowers album. Here is the opening verse. I'm the night watchman. I make the rounds. I'm the night watchman. I gotta keep my nose to the ground.
Thank you.
such a cool song. And we're officially halfway through the show, so I thought I'd just take a quick moment to remind you that the ABCs of Rock is part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. One thing I can't emphasize enough is that I absolutely love getting feedback. Let me know what you think of the show. Perhaps what bands or musicians you'd like to hear me cover in an upcoming episode. So send me your feedback. I can be reached on social media on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. Also, I do realize that I am severely lacking an email address. So I realize that. And soon I will have one. I've just been so busy with some other projects this summer. It is coming. But before I forget, just as important, please, if you have the opportunity, take a moment and rate and review the show on your preferred podcast app. It may seem like it's insignificant, but every single rating and review adds up and raises the profile of the show and helps it find a larger audience. So I thank you all in advance. So, all right, back to the good stuff. So Tom and the Boys' next release was Long After Dark, released on November 2nd, 1982, on Backstreet Records and produced by Jimmy Iovine and Tom Petty. Long After Dark is universally considered one of the strongest albums, full of blistering and introspective soul-searching rockers. Smack dab in the middle of this masterpiece is a wonderful song titled Finding Out, written by Tom and Mike Campbell. This song has great energy, strong harmonies. New bassist Howie Epstein does sound awesome on this track, pushing the groove forward. And Stan, oh, Stan is just drumming for his life here, especially in the back end of the song. Here is the second verse. I've had enough of this hardcore loneliness. I don't think pain is so romantic. I'm just a working man. I feel each day go by. I couldn't understand. I was too weak to fight.
Can't get enough.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that one. Moving on to the next release. And this would be the band's longest gap between studio albums up to this point, over 2.5 years. On March 26, 1985, they released their sixth album, Southern Accents, on MCA Records and produced by a bunch of names including Tom Petty, Mike Campbell, Jimmy Iovine, Robbie Robertson, who is one of the founding members of the 1970s most influential rock bands, The Band. His work on the album was on the song The Best of Everything. Also credited as a producer is one Dave Stewart, who also co-wrote a handful of songs on this album, including the hit single Don't Come Around Here No More, as well as It Ain't Nothing to Me and several others. Dave Stewart, you may also remember, was in the band The Eurythmics, and he's the one that brought the synthy sound into the recording studio for this album. Love it or hate it, he's that guy. Keep in mind, this is the same guy who co-wrote and produced Sweet Dreams Are Made of These, which was a worldwide sensation. So you can easily draw a direct line to how we got the sound on Southern Accents. Overall, I'm not too crazy about the production on this album. I don't think it works all that well, and I'm only a fan of about half the songs on here. One of them seems perfect for the album with this title, and of course, that's the title track, Southern Accents. It was actually the B-side to Rebels, which was released as the second single on March 25th, 1985. I can't explain why I love this song. It just gives me chills. It's just one of those songs that, now that I'm adult, takes me back to my childhood and into my mom's kitchen where she'd be cooking something or baking something delicious. It just sounds like a Norman Rockwell painting for my ears. Going to quote the bridge on this song because I just love how Tom delivers it in the song. For just a minute, there I was dreaming. For just a minute, it was so real. For just a minute, she was standing there with me.
Where my mama for me. I got my own way praying that everyone's begun with a southern accent where I come
Such a beautiful song. Now, I originally had this on cassette. So if you had this on cassette or on vinyl, I say you had the optimal experience because, as you know, Southern Accents closes out side A, which will give the listener a moment to reflect on the song and then either flip the vinyl over or at least you'd have 10 to 20 seconds before what I feel is an abomination of Tom's entire musical career. So, all you CD listeners out there, or if you're listening to this album digitally, Southern Accents fades out, and then you are hit over the head instantly with the song Make It Better, Forget About Me. It's like being woken up from the best dream ever with a bucket of ice water and maggots. Well, maybe that's going too far. But seriously, I never hate on music on this show, but I just don't like that song. It sounds like something Buster Poindexter, or aka David Johansen, should be singing. Okay, rant over. When I can, I do mention when there is a good cover of a song out there. Southern Accents, as you can guess, has been covered maybe 100 times. But honestly, I was kind of disappointed that the musicians really didn't do anything new with the material. And so I sampled about 23 different versions of the song and mostly covered by country and bluegrass artists. So I'm going to recommend one of the best when it comes to covering songs, and that is the one and only Johnny Cash. His version of Southern Accents is honestly completely on par with Tom Petty's. It's fantastic. So seek that out. Okay, let's move on. Up next is their seventh studio album, Let Me Up, I've Had Enough, released on April 21st, 1987, and produced by Tom Petty and Mike Campbell, and released on MCA Records. Another album that is a bit of a mixed bag for me, but a standout track I love is A Self-Made Man. So the song begins with a rather ordinary riff, and it's easy to dismiss it as a generic-sounding bluesy rocker, but then a couple amazing things happened. At 55 seconds in, the chorus kicks in with Benmont's piano, and oh, what a chorus it is. And then you've got this 30-second outro where Mike is just jamming his heart out. And since I drew attention to the chorus, we might as well go with that. So help me, baby, look what love can do. It scares me, baby. Does it scare you too?
On his own.
Love that song so much. Thought of something else while listening to that again. Tom Petty has a significantly lower register on the verses, which is probably another reason why that song stands out as something special for me. Let's move on to the last album we're covering on the show. Released on April 24th, 1989, was Tom Petty's debut solo album, Full Moon Fever. It was produced by Tom Petty and Mike Campbell and Electric Light Orchestra's Jeff Lynne. So experienced Tom Petty listeners already know this, but some may not. What is the difference between Tom Petty and the Heartbreaker albums and Tom Petty's solo albums? Because the naked ear, it may all seem the same. And sonically, there is a lot of similarities between them. And also, there is also a lot of crossover with the band, too. Mike Campbell, for instance, is all over this album. He co-produces it and has several co-writing credits. Heartbreakers, Benmont Tench, and Howie Epstein contribute a little on this album as well. But for the most part, the backing band is a combination of Jeff Lynne filling in on a whole bunch of instruments and Phil Jones on drums. It's a similar lineup with the 2006 album Highway Companion as well. The only exception is the 1994 solo album Wildflowers, in which there is a laundry list of musicians that contribute to that album. Anyway, but let's focus on Full Moon Fever, which at the time was his biggest album ever, going 5 times platinum in the United States and churning out mega hits I Won't Back Down, Running Down a Dream, and Free Fallen. From top to bottom, I will agree that with most critics that this album is probably his most consistent and tightest of his career. Not a song is filler here, at least in my opinion. There is one coming up that some may disagree with. Depending on You is one of the best and most underrated songs on the album, which is why I'm picking that for this episode. It's just a beautiful, perfect song. The chorus for the song with its cascading guitar and keyboards is just pure bliss. And we actually get a mini guitar solo on this one. The song is so catchy and it's whimsical too, bouncing along with some great vocal harmonies. And Jeff Lynne's production definitely comes through. And since I referenced the chorus, let's go with that. You give up so easily. I don't know why you can't see. I'm depending on you. Don't let me down. I'm depending on you. I ain't never gonna let you down. All you gotta do is trust. I was thinking as I was looking over the track listing on this album, how important song ordering is on this album. We live now in an era where a lot of music is consumed by people as singles, and it saddens me that track listing is quickly becoming a lost art form. There was a time when, and I suppose this is still done because yes, they still do make LPs, but there was a time when vinyl was king, and for the most part, you listened to the entire album from start to finish. And of course, you had to flip the record over or flip the tape. I'm not against digital music. Almost all the music I listen to these days is digital. I do have a vinyl collection, but it is limited. And when I do listen to it, it's usually, you know, a rare occasion when I have the house to myself and I'm not going to be distracted. But my point is, you know, it was mulled over for days and weeks or maybe months, you know, and it was probably someone's job. And it was on the line when it came to track listing this album. And it was such an important part of the record industry. That's why most singles on albums are front loaded on the first half, usually within the first three songs or so, you know, occasionally opening up side B, or if they wanted to be creative, it would be the side A closer or side B closer. Hence the phrase deep cut. Singles were rarely the seventh, eighth, or ninth song on an album. Well, those days are long gone, aren't they? I did have a point to the story, and it's kind of personal. Going to give you a little peek into my psyche, and for some of you, this will be surprised by this fact about me. Some will be disturbed, and some might not believe me at all when I tell you this. But for about 23 years, the only way I have consumed music is by listening to a band or artist's complete album. For example, any of the albums I've discussed today. Say even Hard Promises, which may be my least favorite of the ones I've played, I will not just play Night Watchman or The Waiting. I will listen to and ingest the entire Hard Promises album, all 10 tracks. And even if I don't love all the songs, I never skip a song. I've always consumed music the same way I've watched a movie. The 10 tracks are telling a story. Maybe it doesn't have a connected story between the songs, but the musicianship connects it all. The production connects it all. The songwriting connects it all. What the artist was going through during that time in their life connects it, which is why I only love listening to music when I can fully breathe in an entire album as it was fully intended to be heard, not just random songs in scattered order. So, yeah, that's me. I do have playlists. I do occasionally listen to a couple songs that are my favorites, but, you know, for the most part, 99% of the time, I only listen to complete albums from start to finish. That's how I believe music is intended to be listened to. So that's just me. It's not for everybody, but I just figured that's something that I'd share with you. I'll let that sink in for about two more seconds, and then we'll get to the final song, which is also off Full Moon Fever. Going to play what I think is kind of a divisive song in the Petty catalog, but I don't care. It's my show, and I love it. It's the album closer. It's Zombie Zoo. Written by Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne. It's a fun, quirky rocker, and it makes me just want to get up and dance when I hear it. Plus, if you listen very closely, you'll hear the wonderful Roy Orbison on backing vocals. Tom has given interviews that he dislikes the song. He hates the song. He wishes it was never recorded. He wishes it was never put on this record. And he says that there is probably hundreds of other songs that were more worthy of being the final track on this album. You know, I am rather dismayed to learn that about this because I do love the song so much. But, you know, that's okay. One person's trash is another's treasure. So I'm going with the second verse on this one. Cute little dropout, how come you pack a rod? Is your mother in a clinic? Has your father got no job? Sometimes you're so impulsive. You shaved off all your hair. You look like Boris Karloff and you don't even care.
White lipstick and one thing on their mind. Hey, little freak with the lunch pail purse. Underneath the paint, you're just a little girl dancing at the zombie.
brushed off all your hair. You look like Boris Karloff, and you don't even care. You're dancing at the zombie zoo. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Painted in a corner, and all you wanna do is dance down at the zombie zoo. She disappears at sunrise. I wonder where she goes until the impression or go through life unseen. You might wind up restricted and over 17. It's so hard to be careful, so easy to be led. Somewhere beyond the pavement, you'll find the living dead. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Dancing at the zombie zoo. Painted in a corner, and all she wants to do. She disappears at sunrise. I don't know where she goes until the night comes falling down again. She shows up where the friends have a line. Dancing at the zombie zoo.
Okay, there we have it. My 10 underrated and underappreciated songs from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers from the 70s and 80s era. This has been a lot of fun, especially since Tom's music is so personal to me. I hope you have enjoyed listening to this week's episode, and I'd love to get your feedback on the show. So once again, you can find me on Facebook at ABC of Rock Podcast and on Twitter at ABC Rock Podcast. Each and every Sunday night at midnight Eastern Time, I drop a brand new episode. Next week will be another Emptying the Vault, as I stick with the letter P, of course. That should be a great one. Once again, I thank you for tuning into the ABCs of Rock podcast. The ABCs of Rock is proudly part of the Westin Media Podcast Network. And until next week, keep on rocking.